future. I know your Labour Radio colleague,
Jamie Partridge.
Yes, certainly has been involved in that, and Johanna Brenner and Megan mm-hmm. Heist, and, you know, a number of people with Labour Radio ties have been a part of that organizing. Probably the simplest way for people to connect in either is to find that Northwest Troublemakers group on Facebook, or to give me a call or email at the Labour Notes office in New York, and I can always help connect people up.
Okay, and again, what's the Labour Notes website?
LabourNotes.org, LabourNotes.org.
I appreciated having you on, Alejandra.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Talk to you soon.
You too. All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye. This has been KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7. This is Labour Radio, Second Monday Labour Radio, hosted by Elizabeth Ann McDonald and Fernando Gapacin. See you in a month.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labour Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Debtors' Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st at 4 p.m. under the bridge at Cathedral Park in Portland. Strike Debt is a nationwide movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and democratic freedom. This event also features a Strike Debt Portland potluck. Again, that's the Debtors' Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st, 4 to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. But I'm just a soul.
Good evening, this is Mindy Griffiths, and you are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. Tonight, we are talking with Angelica Prey. Angelica is a local singer and songwriter and a volunteer for the Oregon Prison Project. Good evening, Angelica. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started with the Oregon Prison Project?
So I started a year and a half ago, and I got involved in something called nonviolent communication, which another word for that is compassionate communication. And I went and talked to the man who runs the program, Fred Sly, and I said, I'm obsessed with nonviolent communication and like the possibilities that it holds for just like empathic connection between individuals and groups, and resolving conflicts. And I told him that I wasn't really looking to work like in the community with just everyday people. Like my background is I'm way more interested in working with like at risk, like disenfranchised youth and just things that are more intense. I feel like I fit better in like more crisis situations. And he just said, oh, okay. Well, I think there might be something there for you. And then a few months later, he said, I have this program that we have a volunteer spot open called the Oregon Prison Project. And it was teaching nonviolent communication at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, which is the women's prison in Oregon. And so the first 6 months, I was just a student with everybody else. And then the next 6 months, I was a student teacher. And then after that, like my little wings grew. And I was like, okay, now you're going to teach yourself. So that's where I'm at now.
It sounds like a very intensive program. Mm-hmm. What is the mission of Oregon Prison Project?
So the mission is pretty much to increase empathic understanding in individuals. Like most especially what we end up working with is like increasing self-empathy. And so people just like learning to talk to the mean voices in their head in like this really like loving way. And then the second, like outside of that, is all of your individual relationships. And then relationships that you have with systems. And the structure of NVC is, so even calling someone stupid is considered to be violent, because like emotional violence is a very subtle and heavy thing. And we just start like breaking down all of that and turning it into like a more specific language so that when you're having like a conflict with someone, you really are like talking very clearly.
Do you teach then in the prison itself? You work directly with prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And what does a class look like?
So this one we have now is 9 to 12 of us, depending on who has other classes, because that's a really like that prison has so many amazing programs. And it's 2 hours long. We start by just doing like a 5-minute meditation, read some sort of a poem that just kind of like adds to some contemplation. And then we go by beginning our exercises, which there's all kinds of things. We work on like the concepts of like shame and guilt and anger and just lots of stuff on empathy. And usually the way that a lot of people, when they communicate their feelings, they've got like mad, sad, angry, like I've been had, I'm hurt. Like there's like just only a few. And this like opens it up into this, like there's now like 50 plus words available to you to really get at like all of the feelings that are going on. And with that is connected, like if you're having a negative feeling, it's likely because one of your basic needs is not being met. And one of the tenets of NVC is that we all have needs. We all have the same needs, differing amounts at differing times. But yeah, so it's, I don't know, the first part of it is like in our culture, like having needs is considered to be, you're needy if you have needs. And that's like the first thing we wipe off the table. We're like, no, we have needs.
It would seem to me in prison, there would be a lot of needs not being met. So there would be a lot of angry feelings going on around there. Angelica, can you tell us what kind of changes do you see in a prisoner who, after they've been through the program?
The main thing is like the willingness to face your own feelings. Like instead of stuffing things down, people become really curious about like, why am I mad? And they'll be like, oh my gosh, I have a huge unmet need for respect, which is a huge reason people get mad. And so there's just like a huge increase in emotional intelligence. And then what results from that is that instead of being reactive when someone says something to you, you can pause and be responsive instead. You can really, like, instead of being like, I'm going to punch you in the face now, you know, it's like, they'll just connect with themselves and be like, wow, I'm feeling really angry and hurt. Like, this person doesn't understand me at all. And then we also practice guessing what someone else is feeling and needing, who would come at you and say something really horrible and mean. And then to be able to, in the moment that someone says something mean to you, you can be like, oh, wow, this person really, like, desires connection, but they have a horrible strategy for meeting that need. And so it changes everything.
Have you guys seen a direct connection to people's success after leaving Coffee Creek or the other institutions this program's in?
I've only done it for a year and a half, so I can't speak to that, but I know that, like, our reputation keeps growing, like, every year within the prison system. And even now, starting, 2 years ago, for the people who work in the prison, they started a mindfulness meditation program that was based off of the nonviolent communication program for the inmates. Just seeing, like, oh, on the other side of the spectrum, like, for prison guards who have high stress, they're learning to connect with themselves and, like, practice empathy.
So is this a voluntary program that mm-hmm. prisoners can get involved in?
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a situation where there's a prisoner who's really angry or upset that is forced into this program?
Yeah, that's kind of like my favorite thing about it, is that it's voluntary. And so everyone who comes in there, think of them like as this willing, like, warrior to be like an empathic person, you know, like, it's really touching. They don't have to be there. It's not in their required course loads.
How has volunteering there enriched your personal life?
A millionfold. Like, for me, it's just building a community, like a civilization of people who choose to, like, connect empathically instead of, like, tit for tat, you know, eye for an eye sort of thing, or, like, compromising, or the idea that, like, someone else's needs have to not be met for you to get yours met. Like, that's a huge ideology, like, hidden underneath our entire, like, global culture right now. And I think seeing people who want to connect empathically instead, like, is, to me, like, a big, subtle culture shift.
Well, Angelica, I found you by hearing a song that you wrote, and it's called A Poem for My Brother. Angelica, could you tell us a little bit about this song before we play it?
Yeah, so this song is for my brother, who's been in prison for 10 years, six of which has been in solitary. And I wrote it for him because when I would go visit him, I observed this thing that was just, he has like a light that is completely untouchable by any of the experiences that he could go through. And that's what it's about, is just kind of like that internal freedom that can't be taken away. And just to, I wrote it so that he could remember it in times when it's really hard for him.
Wonderful. Well, everybody, this is it. This is Angelica Prey's song, A Poem for My Brother.
Thank you.
Of discipline is unerring, to spend a whole young life in solitary. The kind of strength of heart to not go crazy, squeezing your fist at night, screaming, I'm not crazy, I'm not crazy. What kind of love does it require to keep your inner flame of fire? What kind of life force must you have to breathe willingly each day? Of perseverance to believe you and it will all be okay. I have a hero and he's a man of crime, a man of meth and baseball bats and gang signs, and on a plate of retribution he dines, and he's the warrior seed in this heart of mine. Yes, there's something to be learned in the freedom you reflect. I see that very light in you that can't be taken. Oh, brother, I can see the struggle in your face, but I love the way you twist those chains with grace. how to hold on when I'm on the outside looking in. Teach me how to be patient and feel forgiveness as the discipline, because ain't no restoration and retribution, and this form of justice is crime. I know you've got that wisdom that comes from stale bread and too much time. I have a hero and he's a man of crime, a man of meth and baseball bats and gang signs, and on a plate of retribution he dines, and he's the warrior seed in this heart of mine. Yes, there's something to be learned in their freedom you reflect. I see that very last light in you that can't be taken. Oh brother, I can see the struggle in your face, but I love the way you twist those chains of grace. Love the way you twist those chains with grace. Error mark, you who missed your mark, you can't take what can't be seen. Mythology, you let him be just a healthy, healthy seed.
This is Mindy Griffiths, and you are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. And we are here today with Angelica Prey, local musician and songwriter and volunteer for Oregon Prison Project. So, Angelica, listening to that song, it brings up a lot about solitary confinement. And your brother, you said, has been in solitary 5 of the 6 years he spent.
Six of the 10, but yeah.
Oh, he's been in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. And how has that solitary confinement affected his life?
I think physiologically it's affected him, like his nerves and hands shaking, and the food that's offered in the solitary area is like just not good, like bottom of the line, like black beans that have rocks in them sometimes, like just really gnarly stuff. And it's also interesting because in a sense there's safety in being in solitary. He's like a sensitive and intelligent person who likes to draw. He likes to have his like ritual workout every morning. He likes to read books all day long. So there's like a really interesting element to him serving that time there. But then additionally, like, it's just not good for any of us to not be socialized and like spend time around other people.
How has it affected the ability to communicate with him? And a lot of people don't know what solitary means, mm-hmm. you know, what solitary confinement, sometimes it's called the SHU,
mm-hmm.
Or the hole. So for those people who don't understand exactly what solitary is, what is it?
It's a sentence that you serve in a small cell. You have a bed and you have a toilet and a sink, and then you have access to some books. And that's really about it. And they bring you food like 3 times a day.
Are you able to use the phone?
In certain ones, you get to use the phone a couple times a month. The last term that my brother did, he was able to use the phone, I think, once a month. But he and I would just write letters. That's what we did for several years.
So when someone is in solitary confinement, do they have access to the programs that like Oregon Prison Project provides for people?
No, but there are certain programs that are like they're in communication with a caseworker, and that person will set up kind of like a plan for when they're out of solitary so that they can be more successful.
And how does that program work? Is it help people be more successful
in your experience? I don't even know. I'm not sure, because I only have in that particular case like just the lens of my brother's experience and what he's told me about it, and he felt supported by the IMU project.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So there are over 80,000 men and women and children in solitary confinement in the United States right now. And to me, it seems like that's a public health concern.
Mm-hmm.
A grand majority of those people are mentally ill and or youth, and those people tend to have more effects by this solitary confinement. Do you know of any programs out there or any organizations trying to stop the use of solitary confinement in our prisons?
Actually, in Oregon, the McLaren Youth Facility, I think that they're 18 to 24 is the range there. And then Hillcrest as well, which is about to merge with McLaren because there's fewer youth offenders, which is awesome. So they're becoming one. I just went and did a tour there because we're going to start doing some classes there. And, you know, they pointed out the place for solitary confinement. And I was like how long of a stint, like, is normal for people to serve there? And they were like, less than a day, never more than a day. I was like, oh, like filled with joy. That's made me really happy.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And how long is your brother going to be in prison?
He's got 3.5 more years.
Are they going to do anything to help him transition from all this solitary time to the noisy world of the life outside?
Yeah, I know that he's working with people like with his anxiety stuff. And then there's definitely transitional projects, and then he's starting a bunch of classes while he's there. And there are a lot of good programs in our prisons, at least in Oregon.
So let's go back to the Oregon Prison Project. If you are just the average person on the streets listening to this and you want to get involved, how would someone go about doing that?
You can go to the website OregonPrisonProject.org and email us.
Do you have to be a social worker?
Mm-mm. You just have to take the first 6 months as a volunteer and then keep sticking with it. Or not as a volunteer, but as a fellow student.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. For the average person out there who would like to volunteer but is a little anxious about being inside of the prison, how does that feel for you? And do you feel safe?
Yeah, I do feel safe, actually. Only the first time that I went in there did I feel nervous. It's interesting with the inmates, the relationship that they often have to volunteers is that of like gratitude, because those people are just coming in. They don't need to be there. And so the relationship is different. And I've always felt safe. And there's a really lovely story that Fred tells sometimes about the NVC volunteer experience. And it's the story of this woman who was teaching at a men's facility. And it was in like this grimy basement classroom, and there was a storm outside, and suddenly all the lights went out from the storm, and she couldn't see anything, and she was horrified and didn't know what was going to happen. And she didn't know where any of them were, like, you know, in the room. And there was a flash of lightning, and she saw that they were all locked arms in a circle around her, protecting her.
That must have been a really amazing experience for her.
Yeah, there's this very like humanistic relationship with all of that. It's
Do you have any really personal good. Experiences that you would like to share of times in Coffee Creek where you've found some success?
I feel like it would be a little bit too much like detail or like a confidentiality, but we get to a certain point where, because it's not per se, like I'm one of the teachers, but it's not hierarchical. Like once we get to a certain point and we're all speaking the same NVC language, you know, you can share a basic story of something that made you mad that morning, like something in traffic or like you're worried about your daughter's health and that there's that empathic circle that's available, and it's hard to find in outside of like the friends who practice like the empathic understanding.
You work directly with women. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Are there differences between the nonviolent communication trainings with the women versus the men?
No, the trainings are the exact same. Apparently, it takes the men a little longer to cry because of, you know, our cultural conditioning of that in the class, like the first breakthrough.
Right.
Things are getting real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I don't have experience directly working with the men yet, but that's just what I've heard from the other teachers.
And you would be able to go into a men's prison and mm-hmm. volunteer there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, Angelica, I understand that you are a local artist and that we can hear you in Portland. Where can we find you?
On Friday, June 24th, I believe it is, I'll be playing at Magnolia's Wine Bar at 7 p.m.
And how about online?
Online, you can go to my Facebook page, which is Angelica Prey Music, or go to Bandcamp and also look up Angelica Prey, P-R-A-Y.
And was there anything else that you wanted to share with us?
I think that's it. I'm really grateful for you having me. Thank you.
Well, Angelica, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show. We do have one more song that we would like to play for everybody. Is this going to be a debut, first time on the radio?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yay. All righty. Can you go ahead and introduce the song?
So it's called Coup de la, and the origin of it is kind of funny. Sometimes when I feel depressed, I like to watch water birth videos on YouTube because there's something very innocent about it in a world that's full of just pain and terror. And
all right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing this. All right, guys, here it is. Angelica Prey and
Coup de la.
You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and past Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline, and be sure to like our page Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Angelica Prey. Angelica, can you tell us again one more time where we can find you?
You can go to Angelica Prey Music. That's my Facebook page. And then you can go to Bandcamp, which is under Angelica Prey, P-R-A-Y.
And the Oregon Prison Project is OregonPrisonProject.org.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you so much. And have a good evening, everybody.
The time is 6:59, and you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio, followed by A Different Nature at 8. So please stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Case of the Three-Sided Dream, showing Wednesday, June 15th at 7 p.m. The Case of the Three-Sided Dream tells the story of a multi-instrumentalist, Rashawn Roland Kirk, who went from a blind infant to a child prodigy to adult visionary to a political activist and finally to a paralyzed showman. Kirk was a seemingly superhuman musical force who played literally until the day he died. Again, that's The Case of the Three-Sided Dream, Wednesday, June 15th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Debtors Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st at 4 p.m. under the bridge at Cathedral Park in Portland. Strike Debt is a nationwide movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and democratic freedom. This event also features a strike.